this story, it is my story. And this is the story of a woman.
That's Swiss explorer Sarah Marquis speaking with our own Karen Given.
Sarah Marquis is an explorer, but she doesn't scale mountains or jump off cliffs. She walks.
Walking is human speed. We're not made to go faster. We're not made to be on a push bike or in a car. We are actually built to actually walk.
It's a big question, but why do you walk?
The story starts long, long time ago when I was a little girl. And I grew up in the northern part of Switzerland in an area where there is green rolling hills. With my two brothers, we were wandering all the time in the woods, foraging for mushrooms and amazing birds and little insects.
Sarah decided she wanted to spend her life this way, in nature, living off the land whenever she could. So she became an adventurer. That's her job, professional adventurer. One day, in between adventures, she went grocery shopping. On her way home, she found herself waiting to cross a busy road.
So I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and I get sick of waiting. So I turn around, and behind me was this lovely little travel agency, an old one, it's been there forever. But on the window of that travel agency was one picture. And this picture was green. Green as you can imagine. And this picture was actually a step, a Mongolian step. And then I came back home with my grocery shopping and all that. And I noticed that this picture actually grew inside me.
And when a picture grows inside Sarah Marquis, it really grows. That Mongolian step became just one stop on a 10,000-mile walk. She described it in the first video she sent back home from the road.
Hello, it's the 20th of June 2010, and I'm really happy to be here in this car because we're driving heading to Siberia, which is my departure point. And from there, I walk all the way down to Australia.
So here's the plan. That car will drop Sarah off in Siberia, and she'll walk from there through Mongolia and the Gobi Desert, passing through China, Laos, and Thailand. Once she runs out of land, Sarah's arranged to hitch a ride in a cargo boat to Australia, where she will walk across the entire continent to its southern coast.
And more specifically, there was one tree in the south part of Australia, when the land stop and the sea start.
The tree is on a plain, surrounded by nothing. Sarah met that tree before on a previous adventure in Australia a decade ago.
So I slept under his branch and I talked to him and I said, "Don't worry, darling, I'm not going to let you here alone. I will be back."
Sarah prepared for her journey for 2 years, studying topographical maps, culture, and languages, preparing her body, her mind, and her equipment.
And then one day, after 2 years preparation, you have to do one thing only. Do one step, the first step. It's the most hardest one.
Hello. Okay, so here we are. The time to go now. Ciao.
Sarah knew the weather would be bad. She knew conditions would be rough. She knew it would be hard to find clean water, or any water, in places like the Gobi Desert. But that beautiful picture of the Mongolian steppe, the one that started her on this journey, it had left out one important detail, the humans.
I had many problems in Mongolia with men. And the problem was coming not from the nomad. Those problems was coming from the drunk nomad. The problem was the vodka, actually. I was coming out of a village and two drunk guys followed me on a horse. So they are a really good tracker. So they follow me and I tried to zigzag through some rock formation and they follow the tracks of my cart. And finally, I thought I better stop and meet them. They're faster than me anyway. So I stopped and I faced them and they came and they were so drunk. They tried to take my gear. And I thought, I'm never going to get out of this situation. They're too drunk, you know. They're up to no good. They've been following me. I need to find a solution here. And instinctively, I realized that the only thing was not drunk was the horse. The horse was not drunk. So I yell at the horse, and I raise my hand in the air, and I scare the horse like crazy. The drunk Mongol man on the horse, they nearly fall down, and they lose their face, as they say in Asia. So they turn around and they run back home.
drunken nomads were a problem, so was food. Sarah's a vegetarian, and in Mongolia, she says, locals mostly eat meat. One day she came upon a town, I'm not even going to try to pronounce its name.
Hochicht, they say, Hochicht. The edge, you eat the edge.
Yeah, that. And she noticed one tent at the entrance of the town. Lots of people were coming in and out of it.
There was like horses on the front tied up and people there eating. So I figured it out and there was actually a restaurant there. I was starving, of course, like every day. There was two ladies there with big pots with food going on. So anyway, I queue and I get to those two ladies and I ask for food. So those two women managed to give me a bowl of rice with a fried egg on the top. This is really big luxury. I say thank you, I pay, and I went back to my cart, which is I eat that in 2 seconds and a half. So I went back for more, and when I get in again, people start to look at me really angry, like I've done something really wrong there. And they start to yell at me. I don't know what I've done wrong, you know, because I don't understand. And then those two ladies behind the counter, they start to yell at me. And I was like, okay, I'm fine, you know, like, I'm not going to ask for more food. Right, okay. I turned back and I was thinking, I was like, no, this is not looking good. I'm hungry. I need food. I'm going back there. Whatever they're saying, I'm going to get that food in that pot. So I did. I came back there. And when I was ready to yell at those women, whatever language I would use, suddenly one of the women, she looked at me and she had already ready the bowl of rice with this nice egg on the top. And she smiled at me and she smuggled this bowl of rice on the side and nobody can see it. That was the first time in my life I could actually feel that I belonged to that tribe of women in the world. That was an amazing feeling. We do have this magic link with women. It's invisible and you don't need a language to understand it. Happen again. Again and again. The next time after that was in the Gobi Desert where that woman ran after me to give me some cheese, fresh cheese. She just did, you know. And then happened again in China where, you know, those really serious old Chinese woman in the front of the house, then suddenly she would smile and give me a little bit of rice and come back to their position and not smile anymore. I think I've got out there so many mother, so many sisters, so many aunties. They all recognize in me a member of their family.
So the night was pretty bad. It was minus 25 inside the tent.
In the video she sent back home, Sarah's unwaveringly optimistic. She smiles while describing spending a night inside a frozen tent in the Gobi Desert. She smiles through dengue fever in Laos. She smiles through everything.
Every country I wake up, I will open my tent, I will say, good morning, Mongolia! Good morning, Australia! And make me laugh, because when hard time come, laughing and having a sense of humor, it's a good tool to have in your bag.
And at the end of every day, Sarah says, she reminded herself, I'm not lost, I'm on my way to the little tree.
When I reached my tree, 5 kilometers, which is 3 miles before the end, I stopped and I make a hole in the ground. I collect few twigs around and make a fire, a small little fire. And I use my teapot for the last time and I make a tea there. And I record this video where I say, this is my last tea. It's not just a cup of tea, it's the last cup of tea. Yeah, it's my last fire. And I'm sad. You can feel it. It's got no energy whatsoever.
I left in Siberia the 20th of June, 2010. Today it's 17 May, 2013.
So it's complicated. Arriving after such a long journey, it's an achievement. It's an amazing, amazing achievement. It's so much pain, so much sweat, so much danger, so much joy also. So you have to leave behind that life of this amazing connection with nature. I know I need to make a transition to this real life here. And I know the transition is really not easy.
The walk from Siberia to the southern coast of Australia was supposed to take 2 years. It took 3. But Sarah says this was a walk, not a race.
It's not really important when you get there. What's really important is what happened from the beginning. It's your story.
That was Swiss explorer Sarah Marquis speaking with Only a Game's Karen Given. Sarah Marquis has a new book out about her 10,000-mile walk called Wild by Nature.